Our word for 2024 is going to be the word serve. One word. So you're going to hear me say it a lot. And this is a three-part series. Because I went through the 150 commandments that we did that study on, and I thought, you know, what is the outworking of our faith? A lot of the commandments are about building our faith, being in the Word and praying and things like that. But what's the outworking? What's the doing of our faith? And the list was very short. It's basically serve the Lord. So today we're going to focus on serving the Lord. Next week, serving Christians. And the final week, serving the lost. But we're here to serve. And that'll be our word for this year, so I'm going to wear it out, I promise you. But we're going to start in verse 22 of James chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, there's a word there in verse 25 that I think often in our minds we reset to the word when it's actually the word work. And if you're allowed to write in your Bible, you can ask yourself permission. Circle that word work, because that's what this passage is about. Being a doer of the work. That's when the Word of God has done its work in our lives to where we're not just agreeing with it, but we're actually doing it. That's what this passage is all about. So that's what our title will be today, a doer of the work. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that your word would have its effect in our hearts. As we look at it together, may the Holy Spirit use it through the power of the word in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would get a hold of this great truth today, that we are here to serve. We are here to work. And Lord, I pray that we would take that seriously. And if changes need to be made, the Holy Spirit would help us make them. But may your will be done in every heart. Lord, if there's someone here not born again, may they realize Jesus clearly said you must be born again. And may today be that day for them. Those of us that are Christians, may we listen, learn, and respond as the Holy Spirit would lead. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So it starts off there, verse 22, be doers and not hearers only. Amen. God says in this verse that if we are just hearers but not doers, we are deceived. That's what it says. That we're deceiving our own selves. The Word of God grows Christians, obviously. It's very good in that sense. But it's part of that growing process is doing what it tells us to do, which is, as we'll see, serve God. But look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, if we would, quickly. Most of us know this verse quite well, 2 Timothy 2, verse 16, about the beautiful preserved Word of God that He's given us. Look what it says, all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at this next verse. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Look at that. And so this beautiful word that God has given us that is inspired and is profitable for all these things, God says it furnishes us to what? Do good works. To serve. Furnished unto all good works. In our passage, James 1, verse 23, he says, if we be a hearer of the word and not a doer, we're likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth. That's referring to a mirror. And yes, the word of God is likened to a mirror in this passage. And it's a perfect mirror, because if we will get into this book, it will reflect back exactly what we are. and exactly the changes we need to make. That's how the Holy Spirit uses it in our lives. But he said, for people who hear it but don't do it, it's like someone who looks in the mirror and they see some issues. Maybe the hair's messed up or whatever. And they forget. They don't deal to it. And when we look into the Word of God and it's speaking to our hearts and we don't respond, we're like that man. That's what it's telling us. When we're a hearer but not a doer of the Word. It says in chapter 4, verse 17, if you want to turn over there quickly, of James. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God says, you know, we often think of sin as being things that we do or say, and that's true, or even our thoughts. But here God is saying it's actually a sin when we don't do what we should do. That's called the sin of omission. It's not that we committed a sin in what we did. We actually sinned by not doing what we should do. That's what it says, isn't it? When we know to do good and we do it not, it is sin. And then look at Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus intimated to this great truth early on in his ministry. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Most of us know the parable of the house upon a rock versus the house upon a sand. We even sing the children's song about it. But he says here in Matthew 7, 24, therefore, whosoever heareth, there it is again, these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. But then he goes on and talks about those who hear it but don't do. They're like the man who built his house upon the sand. Jesus said in Luke 6, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why refer to me as your master, as your boss, as your Lord, but not obey my commands? He says, that's not even sensible, is it? To say, Lord, 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 but I'm going to disobey you. And yet, what did he tell us in John 14? If you love me, keep my commandments. He says the way to show love to Jesus is through obedience. And we see in James 1:24, if you want to turn back there, it says he forgetteth what manner of man he was. You see, the Bible's teaching that if we're not regularly in the Word, discovering sins in our own life that need dealt to, areas in our life that we need to grow and mature and be more like Jesus, if we're not in the Word and not allowing the Word to do that in our lives, you know what it's going to do? It's going to breed the wrong things in our lives, like self-righteousness. Because we're not in the Word, the old man's just going to keep getting stronger. The selfishness, the self-righteousness, it's all about us when we're not in the Word, isn't it? Because we're very selfish creatures in our fallen state. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul never had that problem, did he? He called himself the chief of sinners. He understood that he had a lot of growing to do, even though he was probably the greatest missionary that ever lived. But in verse 25, that's our key verse today in James 1. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this Bible's referred to here as the perfect law of liberty. What a beautiful description of God's Word. Amen. If we're not looking, God's saying that is sin. And it's a shame because what we're saying is we don't need it. Do we need it? Of course we as Christians need it, don't we? As newborn babes, desire. We're commanded to desire the sincere milk of the Word. If we're not in the Word of God, what we are saying through our actions or inaction to God is, I don't really need it, Lord. I don't really need it today. That's what people are saying that are not faithful to church. I don't really need it. I can handle my Christian life without the Holy Spirit working in my life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't need it. And when we're not in the Word, we're saying to God, we don't need it. But God says we need it. You know, David said in Psalm 19, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path that's going to guide my way. If we're not in it, then we're not going to be guided. David said in Psalm 119, 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So what God wants, verse 25 of James 1, is that we look into the perfect law of liberty, verse 25, and we continue. It says, and continue it therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Look, if you would, at John 8:31. Jesus said the same thing, John chapter 8, verse 31. That he wants us to continue. This is a process that never ends until we leave this earth. He doesn't want it to be a one-off thing that we get into the Word and allow it to reflect back the areas in our lives that we need to grow or change or repent of. He says we have to continue. Until God takes us home, we just continue. Amen? We're never going to reach that point where we say, well, I'm done. I know the whole Bible front to back, and I never sin. Now, I've met Christians who believe that's true about themselves, but they turn out to be horrible gossips or whatever. They just have self-deceived. You're not going to reach that point until you leave this earth and leave this body. Until then, you got to continue. Look at John 8:31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. You're never going to exhaust the power of this book in your life. You've got to just keep at it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our focus today is this phrase, verse 25 of James 1, a doer of the work. Not a doer of the word, a doer of the work. Amen? That's our title. This man shall be blessed. This man who is in the Word constantly, listening to it, responding as the Holy Spirit speaks to him through it, as he reflects back like a mirror, and then he goes out and what? Does the work. What's this work? There's a lot of Christians, I believe, that are cruising their way to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from hell. Thank you for my mansion that I get to see someday, but, you know, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. Just kind of take it easy. Well, I don't find that in the Bible. And trust me, you don't either. But let's talk about this work. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians 15:58. Most of us know this verse. This is what God is talking about, that the Word of God motivates us to work. But what is this work? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There it is, the work of the Lord. We're to be abounding in it. And then look at Ephesians 4:12, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at that, work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. That is what God wants from us. Yeah, the pastor gets to stand up front. But when we get to heaven, the crush workers are going to be at the front of the line to get rewards. I guarantee it. And think about how different church would be if we didn't have a crush. Sorry, Kelvin, but it's just the reality of life, isn't it? They can be noisy sometimes, can't they, when they're super young. They can't help it. That's how they speak. They cry or they yell or whatever. And while we're enjoying the Word of God and these wonderful air conditioners, they're about out there trying to keep those little ones entertained so that we can enjoy the Word of God. But think about if there weren't people willing to do that work, how different church would be. Now, that's the work of the Lord. That's the work of the ministry. is just saying, I'm willing to use my life to serve God. Think about if we didn't have Sunday school teachers. You know, we're commanded as a church to teach our children all things from Scripture. Well, if we didn't have Sunday school teachers, then that wouldn't be happening. Think about how different our worship service would be if we didn't have all of our amazing musicians. If we had to sing a cappella every Sunday. It would be, you know, just different, wouldn't it? If we didn't have people here playing the piano, playing other instruments for us, people doing special items, it would just be different. People, think about if we didn't have people willing to go out and help get the Word of God out, help letterbox the town, people wouldn't know we were here. And yet, and we'll talk more about that in 2 weeks, that we're here to reach the lost. Or if we didn't have children's church, or if we didn't have Awana clubs, think how different things would be. What if we didn't have Mr. Scott? I mean, let's be real. What would our after church fellowship be? You know, when I came back 8 years ago, man, 5 minutes after the amen, the car park was almost empty. Everybody just shot home. That's changed, hasn't it? And it should change. You know, we're here for edification, admonition, fellowship, encouragement, and so people stay. But Mr. Scott's helped that to increase, hasn't he? Because everybody loves free food. That's the reality. You know, that's the work of the Lord, isn't it? What if our teenagers didn't have a fellowship to go to where they could hang out with their Christian friends? Well, they're just going to go look for worldly friends because they need friends. And we could go on and on and on. That's the work. A doer of the work. Ephesians 4:12, the work of the ministry. 1 Corinthians 15:58, the work of the Lord. That's when we decide to take our gifts and talents and use them for God. Now, I'm going to say something here and it might offend some people. Sorry. But praying and reading your Bible and studying your Bible is not the work of the Lord. That is something we have to do. But we're doing that for our soul so that we can grow in Christ. But that is not serving God. I hope you understand that. I'll go further. Coming to church is not serving God. Coming to church is something we're commanded to do. We're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know why? Because we need it. We need faith cometh by hearing, hear by the word of God. We need admonition and edification from our brothers and sisters. We need the corporate worship. But just coming to church, which we should do, that's not serving the Lord. That's something that your soul needs. Now, the church is a place where we can serve the Lord, like we just talked about. If we come to church and we take care of the kids, we hand out the brochures, we clean up the gardens, we work in the creche, whatever, now you're serving the Lord. But just coming and sitting in a chair and listening to the sermon and going home, that's not serving the Lord. You need it, but it's not serving the Lord. Do you understand the difference? But when you put your gifts and your talents to use, that's serving the Lord. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. God has imparted to each of us, if we are born again Christians, gifts. Every Christian is going to stand before Jesus someday at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give account. What did you do with the gifts I gave you? When we got saved, Jesus knew us because He made us, and He knew the gifts that best suited us. And He imparted them to us. We didn't have to earn them. We didn't have to pay for them. We didn't even have to be taught them. They were just given. But what does He expect us to do with them? Bury them in the sand like the man in the parable and wait for Jesus to come back? No. You look at the gifts. What's their purpose? To serve, to work, to touch others for Christ. What are they? Word of wisdom. That's speaking the word of God, practical application. The word of knowledge. Faith. Teaching. helps governments or administrations, ruling or leadership, ministry, exhortation, giving, mercy, and then the two awesome ones, evangelist and pastor. Evangelist is the church planner. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit imparted the day you got saved. You have a responsibility to first discover them and then put them to use. 1 Peter 4:10, look what it says. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You're a steward because it's not your gift, it's God's gift. And he just gave it to you. But he didn't give it to you so that you could say, I have a gift. Like the charismatics do with the tongues. You know, I'm more spiritual than you because I can speak in tongues and you can't. They do that all the time, don't they? They use that as a measure of spirituality. No, the gifts were never for that purpose. They've always had a purpose, and that was to touch others. They've always had the purpose of reaching others, encouraging, helping, lifting up, building up others. That's what they're all about. But they're absolutely useless unless we put them to use and do the work of the ministry. 2 Timothy 2:15, let's look there quickly. Most of us know this verse. It's about studying the Bible, which, again, we have to study the Bible. We're commanded to study the Bible. But we're not to study the Bible so that we can go around and say, look, I know the Bible really well because I study it. No, we study the Bible so that we can work. Look at it, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A what? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word. Most people, when they see that word workman, they think, oh, that's talking about studying the Bible. No, that's talking about what we're talking about today, doing the work of the Lord. So we're not studying the Bible so we can study the Bible. We're studying the Bible so we can work and be better at it because we know it better. So we're more effective workers. And that's our mission. Look at Romans 6:22. We are here to serve the Lord. We are not here to serve ourselves. That went away the day you trusted Christ and made him your Lord and Master, whom you will one day spend forever with. You gave up your own sovereignty, if you will. He is now in charge of your life. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, hallelujah, and become what? Servants to God. God didn't just free you from sin so that you can run around and say, I'm free from sin. He freed you from sin and left you here so that you could be a servant. I mean, you've heard people say it over and over again, but it's true. Why does he leave us here in this wicked earth after we get saved? We already know heaven's ours. We already know we're going to spend forever with Jesus. Why do we have to stay behind? Why not just take us to heaven after we get saved? You know why? Because somebody told you about Jesus. Amen? And if he took us to heaven as soon as we got saved, there'd be nobody left to work. Nobody left to tell others. Nobody left to serve the Lord. Nobody left to keep the church running. The witness would go away. We're told in Romans 12:11 that we're to be serving the Lord. Look at Hebrews 12:28. This is why we are here, to serve, to work for God. So I hope that everyone here can say, I know what my gifts are. And yes, I'm doing my best to use them. Jesus, in the parable of the man who buried his talents in the sand, he said, I should have returned and found usury. In other words, I should have got interest on my investment. Amen? God's investment in you, other than salvation, was to give you some gifts for free. He wants some interest on that. He wants a return on that investment by you putting it to use for His cause. What's the cause? Verse 28. Wherefore, Hebrews 12, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You've got the kingdom, he says. Hallelujah. You got the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So that we may what? Serve God. Serve God. And so God says, here's my word. Be in it all the time so that you can grow. But please don't be a hearer and not a doer. As you hear, I want you to do. What does he want us to do? Verse 25, James 1, a doer of the work of the ministry, the work of the Lord, putting your talents and gifts to work for Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And we need to take responsibility for that. And we need to say, yes, Lord, that's what I will do. Watching YouTube videos at home about the Bible is not serving the Lord. That's maybe studying the Bible, if you want to call it that. But that's not serving the Lord. That is something you need for your spiritual growth, but that's not serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is when you do something for God. Amen? You get busy and you do something. You get on your feet, you use your hands, you use your mouth, but you do something. That's serving the Lord. And that's why we're here, that we might be a doer of the work. I can't praise God enough for our creche workers. I'm serious. I mean, I love children and I love grandchildren, but I don't know that I could handle screaming babies an hour every week because they're someone else's babies. You know, it's just different. Some people love that. It's not really my thing. Screaming babies. But aren't you so thankful we have them? Think if we didn't have them. And all those babies were in here right now screaming while I'm trying to preach. It's not their fault. They just do what they do. And that's just one example. Thank the Lord for people willing to do that. That's the work of the Lord. You know, when people say, yes, I'll do that, that's the work of the Lord. Like Brandon, I'll run the activities at family camp. Now, that's the work of the Lord. And Michael saying, yeah, I'll organize and run all the special items. That's the work. That's saying, yeah, I'll do it. I have the ability. I have the talent. I have the gifts. I'll do it. That's work. And that's why we're here. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We are so grateful that we have your word. It's just so beautiful. We love it. Lord, help us to be in it all the time, studying it, reading it, meditating in it, memorizing it. But Lord, may we never forget how you've told us in this passage that that's not enough. That the things we learn, the things that you speak to us about, we must get up and do them. And I pray we would be doers of the work, your service. And Lord, if we haven't been, I pray you would work in our hearts, give us the motivation from the Holy Spirit to get up and do it. Thank you for speaking to us. Again, for someone here not born again, I pray that today would be that day that they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, be forgiven, know they're born again, and heaven's their home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.